to all of those folks, Sawubona. If you haven't heard that word, it is a Swahili word, and it means, I see you. And it's an invitation to do a deeper dive into who people are and to go on a quest, if you will, to think more about our humanity and our shared compassion. And it's in that voice that I enter into this work. I have 5 adult children, 19 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. My wife and I are both former foster parents. We have adopted a child out of the system, and we have placed a biological child for adoption into the system. So I see this from many perspectives, this thing called adverse childhood experiences. I myself am a highly traumatized individual. And in fact, you can't live in this country and not be exposed to trauma. We are founded on trauma. But how I got to this position, I'm an ex-state employee. I used to work for the State Department of Corrections in Minnesota. Spent about 25 years there. And along the way, you begin to think about how and who you are and how you got to where you are. I don't know, about 7-8 years ago, I ended up at a conference in San Diego around domestic violence and had the good fortune of ending up in a session. And understand that I don't typically do sessions. I go to meet people. In my world, relationships are more important than anything else. And that day, I could not find anyone to talk to. And so I went to a session to find my next victim, if you will. And in doing so, walking around just thinking, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but the guy at the front of the room must have said something because it went in and it stuck. And all of a sudden, my head kind of snapped around. I look around and there's this white guy, solid white hair, dressed to the nines, standing in the front of the room talking about trauma and the implications of trauma. The thing was, what he was talking about, it seemed like he was talking about my life. He described my life in such detail that I thought he was actually talking about me. When I realized that he wasn't, after it was all done, I went up to him and I said, you know, I don't know who you are or why I'm up here even talking to you. I said, but you've described my life in such detail. And I said, I'm really interested in gaining more information about the research that you're talking about, because it's the first day that I realize that I'm not crazy. He looked at me, he says, what do you mean? I said, well, I've spent 60 years of my life with people telling me that all of those things that I thought had happened to me, that it helped guide who I had become, that they told me that I was insane, I was crazy, that that couldn't possibly be. And he had, in probably an hour, given me the scientific argument for what I was saying to be true. That indeed, what I thought had happened, that this was what helped shape the life that I have now and the way that I responded. He responded, and when I asked him about information, he said, do you have an email address? I said, yeah. He sent me anything and everything that he could around the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. Turned out the guy's name is Dr. Vincent Folletti, who was one of the co-principal investigators of the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. Long story short, I was introduced to Dr. Rob Anda, who later became really attached to. He introduced me to a number of other people. It's funny, I had to go out of state to meet people in my own state. He introduced me to a woman named Jane Kretzman at the University of Minnesota. Jane and I sat down and started to plot and plan before I left my last working position in a real job, if you will. I had the opportunity to grant some money to a nonprofit. And what I asked them to do was to create a curriculum to train a group of people in the community to move the same information into the community, to the people who were most directly impacted. Because in my eyes, they were the only ones who were not a part of the actual process. Typically, what we do is we train professionals. We want the professionals to parachute into people's lives and basically save them. And I keep asking folks, how well is that working for us? And they keep telling me, not well at all. But the only thing that I saw that was different was that the people who were the most directly impacted were not in the equation. And that's who I wanted to add. So suffice it to say that Dr. Anda and Laura Porter, who are now this organization called ACE Interface, created a curriculum. I am one of 25 people who were originally trained by Dr. Anda and Laura Porter and was one of the original 2 certified master trainers in that curriculum. This job, I didn't intend to apply for this job, quite frankly. I keep telling people this. I did this to find out what's the value of a 68-year-old black man in this country. When you put it in context with the number of police shootings and the way social justice issues have popped to the surface now, I've been asking myself that question for a long time. I'm old. The system doesn't seem to want old people in it. I'm black and I'm male. that has its own questions around it. And so I did this on a lark to find out. After waiting 4 months to hear back, I was talking to my wife one morning, and I got this email, and I looked at it, and it said, "We are pleased," and I closed the email. I looked at my wife, and I said, "You remember that job?" She said, "What job?" I said, "You know, that job in New Jersey." She said, "Yeah, what about it?" I said, "I think they're getting ready to offer me that job." And so about 3 hours later, I opened up an email, and sure enough, there was an email from Arturo Brito from the Nicholson Foundation. It said, "We are pleased to offer you." And I thought about it, and I said, damn, now it's put up or shut up time. I got to really go do some work now. Suffice it to say, I talked with my wife and my kids, and my kids looked at me and they said, "Dad, this is what you've spent your whole life working toward. This is where you're supposed to be." I called my sister in Chicago. She just started screaming when I told her what was happening. After she calmed down, she said, "David," she said, "this is your calling. Go do what you're supposed to do." And at that point, you know, when your family is supporting you that way and you get the blessing of the matriarch of your family to go do something, I felt like it was the right move. So we packed up lock, stock, barrel, sold the house. Can't go back. No place to go back to now. Moved into a two-bedroom townhome here in Somerset, and the rest is kind of history, as they say.